It is my distinct pleasure and privilege and honor today to introduce our guest speaker to you. And I'm so excited because from a personal level, a personal standpoint, I just love them dearly. I know a lot of us in the congregation have been exposed to their ministry and also feel the same way. And last year, about this time, we did have Rami and Gabby Danieli from the Galilee, from Israel, native born he is. To Israel and the area where Jesus walked and lived. And so we're honored to have him and them with us this morning. Those of you who've been on the tours that we've had, the last couple of tours we've taken from Suncoast to the Holy Land, Rami has served as our guide, and he not only makes it 3D, but I think it would be safe to say he makes the experience 4D or even 5D or 6D, whatever. You don't just experience, you ingest it. It gets down inside you. You're like, wow, amazed. So just a gift to the body of Christ, a gift on his life and an anointed teaching ministry. And she is a worshiper. Yeah, you see the picture. Yeah, that was, I believe, the restaurant there in the hotel. But Gabby is a gifted and anointed worshiper, loves the Lord, loves to sing and play to the Lord, writes a lot of her original music, and she has some CDs for sale, and they'll be available after service. If she runs out, I'll be the liaison. If you want to make the contact and get them from her, I'll be the tag person so you can see me if you don't get one today from her. But before they come, if you want to go ahead, Gabby, and prepare, she's going to share with us in song. But before they minister, I'm just going to read to you right quick from the Message Bible, because I was reading here in Acts this week in chapter 10, where you all are familiar with the story of Cornelius. And I was reading it, and I thought, that sounds like us. That sounds like us, the body of Suncoast and Rami coming to us. So by no means do I mean to sound presumptuous here by saying we are this congregation, but it was just a similar kind of thing. So I'm going to read this little bit of scripture to you because it hopefully will be our experience as well. Cornelius said, 4 days ago at about this time, mid-afternoon, I was home praying. Suddenly there was a man right in front of me, flooding the room with light. He said, Cornelius, your daily prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. I want you to send to Joppa to get Simon, the one they call Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner down by the sea. So I did it. I sent for you, and you've been good enough to come. And now we're all here in God's presence, ready to listen to whatever the Master put in your heart to tell us. Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. The message he sent to the children of Israel, that through Jesus Christ, everything is being put together again. Well, he's doing it everywhere among everyone. So Gabby's going to share with us now, and then Rami is going to come after her.
Hallelujah. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here again.
To you.
Come, Yeshua, come, we pray.
Good morning. Let's start with the one psalm. Am I not too high? Okay. Psalm 83. You know, I'm coming from Israel, and thank you for inviting me, Pastor Matt, all you people. It's a privilege to be here again. I'm coming from Israel, so this psalm really relates to what I'm going to talk about, partly, and also again and again shows how nothing is new under the sun. Psalm 83, a song, a psalm of Asaph. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. And I want to pause here and tell you, welcome. You are Israel. Stop illusioning yourself that you are the church, apart, separated from Israel. If you're not part of Israel that he speaks about it here, then what are you doing it? What are you doing here in the first place to begin with? This is the Jewish Bible. This is if you have not grafted in or being grafted in to the olive tree, what are you doing here? Okay, it's not a new religion. You are part of the deal. For good and for bad, yeah? So start to think like those verses speak about you here in Florida, okay? For they have counseled together with consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom. And you know, in Yeshua's time, Edom actually, the meaning Edom extended more than just the mountains of Edom, you know, or Mount of Seir, just on the east side of Israel. Near the Arava plain, if you know what I'm talking about, in the south section of Israel, southern region of Israel. But it extended all the way to Rome. You know, Rome was considered Edom, the enemies of Israel. Okay? And she talks about Cornelius in Caesarea. Caesarea was considered little Edom because the Roman governor controlled Judea from Caesarea. Okay? Where Cornelius lived. So the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Agrites, Gval, Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tzor, Tyre, Assyria, Ashur also joined them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Yavin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Orev and Zehev. Yes, all their princes like Zehev and Salmunah, who said, let us take for ourselves their pastures, the pastures of God, for a possession. Again, there are different levels in God's words, my friends. If you take it only as a historic psalm, then it speaks about physical Israel, about 10,000 miles away. Are you with me? Yes. But you are Israel. Amen. And once the temple was in Jerusalem, now the temple is here. So start to try to think while I'm talking, all this talk, all this preaching, in those three levels, if I may say, okay? There. Israel level, this nation, little Israel, then Israel us, then Israel our bodies. Amen. Okay? So the enemies are not going only on the level of Israel. Soon I will prove it. They are going also on the spiritual level, this place. not this place, but this place, yeah? And our very being, okay? Our very flesh, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, verse 13, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them with your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O God. And this is the beauty in who God is, actually. You know, we think to destroy the enemies and destroy them completely and just bury them and just dash them with our feet, right? Amen. God actually goes against the enemies, so some of them will seek his face and will be saved. That's the beauty of the God that we serve. He's the God of all the earth. No, he's not the God of the Jews alone. And his desire is that all of us will come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Yeshua Jesus, right? Okay? His son. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever, yes. Let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is Yahweh, translated it as Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Amen? Now immediately to Matthew 16. That's the passage that we are going to deal with mostly. Matthew 16. And intentionally I want to read only one verse, like out of context. Matthew 16:16. Then we will elaborate on it some more. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Can we say amen to it?
Amen.
Do we believe in it?
Yes.
Well, we will check ourselves later on in a deeper way, okay? Because this is not a dogma here. I'm not going to teach you some creeds, Christian creeds. Do you believe that Yeshua is the Son of God? He's the second in the Godhead?
Yes.
I don't even ask you this. Because this is less important. But what this very confession, Peter's confession, really mean to you? That's the point. Not if you believe in your head. If you know who is God or the Godhead or that he is the Messiah. This is not the point at all. And I'm going to prove it to you. Black and white. On white. Okay, my beloved. You know, it's not a secret that the world is going down, right? It's not a secret that the world is, actually the world eyes are focused and more focused on Israel, right? Why is it, yeah? And it's not a secret also that the modern war will not be so much by invading, you know, nation invading another nation, okay? But the real threat in the modern war is, come on, missiles, right? So I want to start in the physical realm, you remember, literal Israel, and show you some of the threats on Israel today. My friend Jonathan, this is the time for the website. I found this website and you will see why I like it so much. Let's start with Israel. This is Israel, yeah? Where are you? In the West Bank, yeah? Look only at the West Bank. This is the West Bank, by the way, yeah? All of this, the green area, the West Bank. You see, by the way, how much percentage it takes out of all Israel, yeah? Quite a big one. And actually, it is the very heart of biblical Israel, okay? It includes Jerusalem over here, or at least half of it, yeah? My friends, look only at the threats that we have right now by missiles which are already existing in the West Bank. You see, this shows you the range that they cover. It's clear, right? Let's go to the Gaza Strip. Here is the Gaza Strip. By the way, here you have the Qassam range, 6 to 12 kilometers, okay? The Grad range, okay? And you can see how much it covers only from this small little area, the Gaza, okay? Let's go to northern Israel. And here you can see, by the way, go there, Jonathan. Thank you. Yeah, push it. Good. My beloved, look only from Lebanon. We are covered by the missiles held and owned by the Hezbollah, this Shiite terrorist organization. You are familiar, right? This is Lebanon. Look where their missiles reach, Beersheba. Quite scary, right? Let's go now to the Middle East. And let's see only the Syrian threat. This is Syria. And look, their Scud missiles, this is the range. Do you see how it covers almost all Israel, almost to the tip of the Red Sea? Quite impressive, huh? Now let's go and see that Israel is not the only one which is threatened. Actually, it goes all the way here to the United States of America. Let's start with Iran. Okay, this is Iran. And let's see the list of their missiles that they have, the Shihab 3. And look what it covers. This is Israel over here. This is Iran. And look how it covers parts of Turkey, right? Turkey. Not to speak about Asia, okay, and almost to India. But this is not yet the threat. Look at the Shihab 3R. Do you see? Now Jerusalem and even Cairo are covered. Let's go to the KH-55 that they have. This is all that they have in their possession. Okay? Look at this. 3,000 kilometers. Do you see that half of Europe is covered? Now, if you thought this is the end of the story, go to DBM. Look now. Paris and Madrid are inside the range. Clear? Look to the other one. The last one. Where are you, North America? New York. Is it only Israel's problem? Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. So, what all of this has to do with you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God that you just read? Go back with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And let's read it this time in its context. Verse 13, Matthew 16, 13. When Yeshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. By the way, did you notice that all the names that they gave relate to prophets? Who was the greatest prophet according to Yeshua's own words? Come on. John the Baptist. He was a prophet, right? Elijah was a prophet. You remember? Oh, you know, God raised one of the prophets. Did you notice? Why? Why prophets? Because of the context. Look at verse 1. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be fall weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? And then he goes ahead to call them a wicked and adulterous generation, etc., etc. Yeah? My beloved, a prophet till today is a person looked at as, you know, a person who can tell you about the future, or at least about the times that we are living in. Are you agreeing with me? Yeah. By the way, this is not such a biblical concept of a prophet, if you check what a prophet's role is really about. A prophet is really a teacher who brings God's word to the crowds. A prophet is a revolutionary or reformator, yeah, like Martin Luther, okay, who his heart burns within him to bring you back to the original message. And the prophets of old brought the people, I mean, they did not really want to deal with the future events. They first dealt with their own people. Did you know it? They first wanted to teach their own people what they lost, the original message, not of the Torah back then. Actually, it's also now. My beloved, a prophet in the New Testament, not changing his role, but there are some other things which are added to his role, like edifying, building the body, etc., etc. But not necessarily telling the future. Did you know it? But back then, they fell into the same trap like we all do. Oh, Rami, you come from Israel. Probably you have the best, perfect doctrine about the end times. Please tell us exactly when it will be. With dates, of course. Don't forget the dates. So we will prepare. Tell us about Y2K. Right? Tell us about the oil spill. What does it mean really prophetically? Tell us about the volcano in Iceland or wherever it was, yeah? No, friends, I'm not here to tell you all this, friends. You know why? Because I simply don't know. But I believe that God called me to show you, to share with you the big picture, the principles of God. So you will learn to put the emphasis where emphasis should be put. And the emphasis should not be put on creeds, what you believe in. Guess what? The demons believe as well. Whether you are Baptist, Pentecost, Messianic Jews, who cares? Who cares what you believe in? Show me what you believe in. By your deeds. Okay? Show me. Show Yeshua. Show God. Okay? So, my job is to show you the connection between world events, especially in the Middle East, and you could see that it's not our problem alone. Iran is not our problem. Even not Syria, by the way. Because Israel made a vow to herself. The next time or any time that they will be attacked with unconventional, you know, weapons, they will not let themselves be gassed like in the Holocaust. Are you with me? It will be a chain reaction. So even if Iran is stopped with their nuke program, and even whatever, yeah, still Israel is your problem. Still the psalm that I just read, Psalm 83, has to do with you and not only with us there. What's the connection with you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God? Did you notice that it was the very first time Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is asking his disciples, whom do you think I am? Of course, whom do people say I am, yeah? But who do you say I am? Did you notice that Yeshua did not ask it in Matthew chapter 2, 3? Did you notice that he did not do it when he gave the Sermon on the Mount? Are you still awake? Yeah. Why? Why he waited till he was in the region of Caesarea Philippi? Not yet, Jonathan. Okay. Why then? My beloved, because of the following. When you check Yeshua's life, you know, the earthly ministry of Yeshua, you can see that it can be divided mainly into three parts. Part one, I call it the hidden part. From his birth on to age of about 30. Do you remember? I mean, does somebody know about Yeshua in this period? Yes. Nobody knows about him, only his parents and his friends in Nazareth. Right? I mean, no internet, no Facebook. Right? Nobody knows about Yeshua. No CNN, Shmienen. Just try to see if you're awake. My beloved, only his parents, you know, his relatives, you know. I mean, and even those who know him, not such a special child, you know. Special child at the age of 12, you remember? He goes to the temple. But even then, it's not yet the Messiah. Am I right? Again, the hidden stage. Are you following? Second stage is exactly when he started his ministry, okay, at the Jordan Valley, at the Jordan River, okay, being baptized, being, of course, baptized by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and then led to the desert, and then after his experience in the desert, he started his ministry. You agree with me? And this is stage number two, the stage I call blessing. or blessings. He was a blessing to everyone he touched or addressed, whether by words or by deeds, right? He touched the blind, they got healed. He touched the leper, he got cleansed. He spoke words of life. He was a blessing to everybody. Yet there was another stage. I wish it would stop here. Because most of the Christian church, the Western church, like me to stop here and say, okay, thank you. Stage number three is starting here. This is the turning point. Matthew 16, are you following? Because this is the time that he will tell them, you know what? Why should I quote him if I can just read what he said, yeah? In verse